Is Somerville worth our time? We're about to find out. Welcome, everyone, to episode 161 of 1 Hour, 1 Decision, 1H1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game on Xbox Game Pass and decide, well, Tom, is there enough orange in our life?
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?
Dang it. I set myself up for that. We are talking about Somerville, developed by Jump Ship. And this game came out in November of 2020. As usual, play this on the PC. 10.04 gigabytes on the PC. Tom, what about you?
It was 10.2 gigabytes on the Xbox Series S.
Okay, bad.
It's very pretty close, really.
Close. I'll give Jump Ship their credit.
Yeah, you won't make them jump ship.
No. We're not jumping ship on that. Not jumping ship on this game yet. But what kind of game is this?
I put very simply third-person adventure.
Okay. Yeah, that was probably the smarter move here.
Uh-oh.
I just put third story-driven 3D side-scroller.
All of those things are true.
I mean, I say side-scroller. I'll say that in air quotes because you are going left and right, but you're also kind of going in and out.
There's another dimension.
Yeah, there sure is. And what else there is here is that game loop. And what is that game?
Speaking of other dimensions, use light and alien power to dissolve obstacles in your path and avoid being captured.
Yeah, I put go left, right, up the screen and solve environmental puzzles, progress the story. And what I would allude to at the beginning of this episode also is you're essentially also looking for the orange thing to interact with. But
yes, that is true.
But yes. Now let's get into those things that we liked about this game, Tom. What do we like?
There aren't a whole lot of fruit references. No, that's not one of mine.
No.
I really liked that opening cinematic credits sequence. I think it like segues into the game really well. I like when games do that well, where you're just kind of brought into the game, and you know, especially if it's going to be very story driven, like do it like a movie, right? Like,
definitely had that cinematic. Very like I think throughout the playthrough, this game had a very cinematic feel, and I like that they did that, but also still felt like a game. I don't know how else to explain it because, like, you know, with the movie, you're kind of this person that's observing, right? Whereas in the game, like, you're actually doing something. You're involved. Yes. And, like, I think they did a good job, even just using, like, the force feedback in my controller and stuff like that. It all, like, came together, I thought, pretty well.
Yeah. No, you're definitely right about that. I think the scene transitions were handled well, you know, moving from, you know, one scene to the next. It made sense. It worked. I'm just impressed with the storytelling overall in this.
Yeah.
Because, like, one of the things I wrote down here, they were able to set the tone and the stakes without having any dialogue.
Right.
What? Like, I'm really impressed that I was told a story without any words. How do you tell a story without words? These guys figured it out.
Yeah. I mean, unless they took a book from our dear friend Jendy Tartakovsky or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's true.
I think they did a great job of setting, like you said, setting the scene. And yeah, you really only hear maybe grunts from people and like shock and maybe some cries. But that was about it. And yeah, you really, just to set the scene a little bit, you are, you start off as a family, a small little nuclear family, parent, husband and wife with their little child, a toddler and a dog. And you're just coming back home one day. The parents go to sleep and you kind of put this up. I can kind of put this as my like a dislike
you,
in a
you
way.
You could go either way. Well, I'll say that I liked that you play as this toddler.
Yeah. Yeah. The game, you start off playing as the toddler and, you know, kind of toddling along in the world. And as you see, like there's something out there that is causing a ruckus, and you're seeing it through the eyes of this child. And yeah, it was just, I thought it was just like a very well done intro to this world. It set you up really well. And yeah, I think overall, this is another game. 2022, okay, it's kind of far back, but not too far back. But another game where it picked an art style and stuck with it, and it looks really good for what it is.
Yeah, and I think it will look very good into the future. Like,
absolutely.
Again, yeah, you know, it's stylized for sure.
Right. And it was a good style. Like, it could have been a crappy style, let's be honest.
Yes, but yes.
They did a good job with what they picked. I almost felt like the way I described it almost was kind of like a paper mache or something. Like just,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was something weird like that. But it's very flat colors, like very flat color scheme that, and yeah. So, yeah. And I thought the game also, very simple controls.
Yeah.
You obviously have your movement, you know, with the joystick, and as you progress later on in the game, there you have now an ability that the father gets.
Yes.
Which you wake up to and you're like, what the heck is going on? Because I don't know how much of a spoiler this is, but your family essentially gets abducted, I guess, from, and you have this power that you can manipulate these, like you mentioned, obstacles, these like,
yes,
that are kind of like highlighted in red, and your power is kind of like a bluish tint. I don't know. So there's a lot of mystery in this game. And I also felt like there's a sense of dread in this game.
Yeah.
So that's you know, again, it's very impressive what they're able to do with how little dialogue, but like, you know, great audio, great art, and
yeah,
like just great set pieces. So what else did you like about it?
I liked, you know, you touched on it earlier, that it's able to tell you like where you need to go and what you need to do without, you know, without an arrow, without dialogue. There is a path and the path is orange. Reminds me of like Uncharted or some of these games where it's like, oh, that piece of the environment is an interactable because it's a certain color.
Right.
That's where I'm supposed to go, or that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, know? Exactly. So once I figured that out too, I was just looking for that that color somewhere, and I was trying to interact with whatever the object. You mentioned the dog, and there are other friends.
Yeah, I do like, so obviously you touched on it, that this man has suffered a terrible loss right at the beginning of this game. His wife and his child are missing, but fortunately the dog is there with him, so you have a companion that's walking through the world with you. And then pretty soon you meet some other companions in the form of presumably friendly alien something. I don't know if they're creatures or tech or what, but
right,
it's they some join sort you
of like they're like little balls of light. Well yeah, like faces are light, and like they just kind of roll around following you, like, I guess because of that power that you have, just attracted to them. So yeah, they definitely help you with taking away a lot of those obstacles.
Yes.
So yeah, kind of cool. What else did I say here? I also thought, yeah, I thought that the effects were cool with, like, speaking of that arm and the power that you do. So like the idea is like, if you interact with something that has light, your arm kind of amplifies that light and causes obstacles to essentially fade away.
Yeah, like dissolve.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of, in a way, Those Who Remain and Alan Wake, where you're using light as a way to cleanse your world, in a sense. So yeah, another Alan Wake kind of thing that was brought up here.
Maybe all these people were inspired by it. I don't know.
Possibly. So yeah, cool. So anything else here we want to talk on, touch on?
I'm ready to move on, Chris, unless you have.
No, I will just quickly, with our dislikes here, I will quickly kind of jump back to the toddler portion here, where
sure.
While it was cool, I kind of appreciate it. I appreciate it by, in this particular instance, it was like I was sitting around for like a good 2 minutes expecting something to happen.
Yes.
And then I just realized like, oh, now it's my turn to play.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of times, even like Grease did this, but I think they did a little bit better in that, like, you know, the black bars kind of came down to show that this was kind of like a cinematic moment. And then when you were ready to play, those black bars kind of rise up and then you're like, okay, now it's your turn. And I wish like just some sort of significance there.
Yeah.
would have been helpful. I'm nitpicking, but it was like
that. Yeah, the communication that the game had begun wasn't really there.
Right, but because like the rest of the game, like I mean, we just talked about it, like the way that the story is being told overall is pretty clear without any dialogue. So it's kind of like odd that they didn't figure that part out. Where it's like now it's your turn to play versus
to be fair. Yeah. As people who play a lot of video games,
right.
I think intuitively we would not think that we're going to play as the baby.
Yeah, that too.
So there is a level of like, okay, the baby, what's the baby? The baby's going to go get into trouble.
Yeah.
Like, you're not thinking I'm going to be the one who's going to put the baby into trouble, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Which I guess is kind of a good surprise. And this game, like we talked about, is dealing with going through obstacles and stuff like that. So essentially scenes are puzzles, right? Trying to figure
yeah.
out. But I felt like the puzzles in this game didn't make me get those aha moments like we had in Coon and other games that we've kind of played through this show. I feel like a lot of times it was just me like slapping my head like, oh my God, that was how you figured this out. Like it was just a lot of frustration with the puzzle design, I would say, but I don't know how you felt.
No, I agree with you. Like I put down no clear directions on what I should be doing. So like while eventually you get the kind of like the go to the orange kind of, you start to figure that out. Like before that, it's not really clear a lot of the times, you know, there's no like, oh, I've got to get this key. Oh, I got to get outside. Like the guy's not even talking to himself. So, you know, you're just kind of fumbling around in the dark. And some of that, when I was doing it, like you can wander off frame, like out of frame of where what the camera's looking at. It feels like they're like, I want to tell a story. And then also there's a game here sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I was actually just going to point that out. Like, I think they did a great job with the story direction, but then the game direction part of it was kind of wishy-washy. Like, they just threw these, slapped these puzzles together just to be like, okay, well, we need to make this somewhat interactive. So so I think that's kind of a missed opportunity, especially, you know, again, kind of going back to Cocoon, like just having those layers and like you have this light power. Like, I feel like there could have been some really cool puzzles. Maybe there are cooler puzzles down the line, but at least the ones that we've tried. So at least the ones I've tried so far.
In that first hour. I don't know. Did you have problems with the controls at all?
Controls. I found them
kind of finicky.
Finicky in what sense?
I don't know. They felt like inconsistent in their application, I guess it was what I put.
Okay. I could see that. Yes. And in fact, there were several times where I was thinking, like, why did it work this way
this time?
And like certain objects that you interact with one time, like now become interactable. I don't know. Yeah, I agree. Like there was that inconsistency that I did not like as well. Yeah, that was unfortunate because like, again, going back to the art and story direction here, they do a good job of laying that stuff out. But then, you know, it's what do you do? What do you do with that? Like if you're not going to be consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you got here?
I got stuck in the geometry a couple of times. Like I experienced some legitimate bugs. I mean, it does feel like it was made by a small team, so this sort of stuff is liable to happen, you know. I also just, because it's like the blessing and the curse, right? Because there isn't dialogue, it's not always clear. Like I wrote, is my job to melt all the alien technology? If so, why? Like I understand, I mean, that I'm trying to find my wife and my kid, and I guess the stuff's in the way.
But
I don't know. Like I wish that was better communicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's interesting because maybe they thought that that motivation of finding your family would be strong enough. But I feel like there's so much stuff that happens, even that first hour, stuff that happens where you're just like, what is going on? Like, and you do see people in the world too, like, but they all run away. So you don't even get to talk to them. And it's like, okay, what's all right. That's kind of annoying. And one thing I was just talking about, thinking about going back to your controls issue, I just wish there was a run button a lot of times. Because your character kind of just can be a little bit of a slog.
Dragging his feet.
Yeah.
Hurry up. You got a family to go find.
Yeah. I had no real sense of urgency at times. And oh my God, there was one puzzle that I got to. What was it? It was the water pail one.
Okay.
That I was on for quite some time. And I was like really frustrated. But yeah, it was so bad. A lot of times for me, I felt like every scenario, it came down to me finding that orange thing and interacting, finding that and then just, you know, figuring out what to do from there.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, again, just kind of frustrated.
Kind of find the win button.
Right. Exactly. So I was like, I don't know. Like, this game had a lot of potential. And that's, I think, where it falls. I won't say it's as bad as, you know, Last Case of Benedict Fox.
Right.
I feel like this is a bit more polished, but
yeah,
you know, it's it could be better. That's all. Like, yeah. So what else you got here? Or shall we move on to our other thoughts?
I'm ready to move on.
All right. Well, how long to beat does say this game takes about 3 hours.
Hey, look at us. 33% done.
Yeah. So not too bad. I mean, mine might be a little bit longer. But this game does have Xbox cloud saves, cross saves, and is X cloud compatible. So it's got all that in there. That's great. What you got, Tom? What other thoughts you got?
Okay. Here? So it is important to note, this is the debut title of this developer. Their previous work, they worked on Limbo and Inside. Under a previous, you know, as part of a previous development studio, then spun off and became to build his own, you know, to 2017.
Jump ship from Play Dead. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. maybe there's something there.
Yeah.
But I guess the inception of this game goes all the way back to 2014.
Oh, wow.
So I guess he had this idea kicking around in his head. It just wasn't maybe the right fit for the old development studio. Hmm. Got to the point where he felt like he was ready to go and jumped ship. So, cool. But yeah, if you feel some of that like Limbo Inside DNA,
yeah,
that there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
And those are both really well-received games. So I would imagine if you liked those games, you probably should give this one a shot.
Well, there was a lot of hype for this game when it got announced because it was the developers of Inside and Limbo. But I feel like
some segment of it.
Yeah. And I think those people that played that game might have been a little bit disappointed with this game because of certain things that we've talked about, the puzzles and stuff like that. Just not as
not on that level.
Yeah. Not as expert. And I think even the developers from Cocoon, did they work on Inside or Limbo?
I don't recall.
Anyway, it's fine. But yeah, those are some thoughts here. And now we're ready to talk about our final decision here. Huh, Tom?
Yes. Would you like to go first or shall I?
Well, I guess we need perspective harder. So yeah, I can go first. I mean, quite simply, this game is only 3 hours. Story was intriguing enough that I think I might see it to the end. It's a Lord of the Rings movie length, I guess.
Yeah.
Not director's cut, just the regular.
Yeah, no, you could finish this in the amount of time it would take you to sit down and watch Return of the King.
Yeah, there you go. So I think I'll at least see this at the end because, like I said, the story was intriguing enough. I think that I want to know what happens. Does this guy get his family? Will he be crushed by this alien?
Man, I really hope he does get his family back. I am likewise, Chris, intrigued to continue. I wrote down, if it's not too long, 3 hours isn't too long. So, you know, now that I know that, I will concede though that I'm nervous that I'm going to get stuck at some point.
Yeah.
And then going online looking for hints to try to like a walkthrough for this would ruin the, you know what I mean? Like could so easily ruin the game.
100%.
And then it would murder my interest in continuing.
Yeah.
I'd have to be very careful if I got stuck because. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The mere act of looking for the solution to that puzzle may spoil the whole game.
Right. I mean, I've been like, if I do that now, I tend to go on like YouTube and like, you know, some of these guys that do walkthrough, yeah, they'll break it up. You don't have to see ending.
Good idea.
Yeah. So cool. So those are our thoughts. Let us know what you think of this game. Follow us and say hello on Twitter at TC1H1D or shoot us an email at TC1H1D@outlook.com. And, you know, we play these games on Twitch, twitch.tv/1H1D. Check us out when we go live there. And, you know, we do put these on YouTube. So send us a comment down below. Say if you really enjoyed it, if it's worth time to go past the hour. I mean, we think it is. I mean, 2 more hours. I mean, what are you doing in 2 hours? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, and 1H1D is part of that QTB network. So if you like any kind of fantastic gaming content, check it all out at quitthebill.com/network.
You know what they could do, Chris, what with else 2 hours is they could listen to 4 episodes of this show.
I mean, if you really want to, you know, I mean, we appreciate every listen we do. So, and every watch too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for that. And, but now, Tom,
yes,
we need to find out.
Yes. It's an important part of the process.
It really is. And so is that surprise me button. So surprise me button, tell us what we're doing next. Here we go. All right.
Yes.
Stranded Deep.
I am unfamiliar.
Me too. But we'll find out.
It's the beauty. The beauty of the Game Pass and the surprise me button is we get it surprised.
Really is. It really is. Hopefully we'll be surprised in a positive way, like we did this episode. So thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this episode. And we will catch you on the next one.
Thanks, everybody.